Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, taking a break from some college basketball in the NCAA tournament to watch some Sixers basketball late night on the West Coast. Welcome to the PHLY Sixers postgame show along with Kyle Newbeck, Derek Bodner, I'm Devon Givens. And this, guys, was the game that we circled as the one that they should possibly win, could possibly win along this four-game road trip. Unable to come through with the W in the end, falling short because of a tough stretch there in the late part of the fourth quarter, 101-94. Fellas, what's going on, man? Now 0-2 on this four-game road trip.
Yeah, and you brought it up. Not only could they have won that, but they should have won that one. That was a frustrating one. Kyle's laughing. I'm not entirely sure what Kyle's laughing about already.
Because I can just hear them. I can hear the fatigue in both of your voices. You're both, yeah, Derek. I know
it's
you are.
It's 1 a.m.
Not...
and we watched them miss 145 threes. What do you want from me, Kyle?
I was gonna say, I know you are certainly not built for this type of.
I'm a morning person. That's a very true.
Devon is a little more of a night owl. I don't think he's quite as extreme as I am because I'm the borderline vampire, but.
No, I'm with you, vampire style. Yeah,
I'm happy to see your beautiful faces. I was not happy to see the Sixers shoot 33 of 96 as a team. As it turns out, that is probably not going to win you many basketball games.
It's tough.
It's real tough. Some might say. Do we want to get any positives out of the way before we just, you know?
I mean, we got to start off with Kelly Oubre. All of a sudden he turned into a playmaker and a passer, and I am here for it. I thought he was real good tonight, at least in the first half.
Yeah, he was. Nice dump off pass for Mo Bamba to get the dunk there in the second half on that end of the floor. Yeah, his playmaking, he's looking to pass now. He's just not going to the basket.
Yes.
And just
he had
focused
some,
straight
some
line.
Real yeah, nice yes. Dump off passes, some kickouts to Tobias. Probably could have had four or five assists if people made any kind of shots whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was real happy with his approach today. Like I said,
see,
a lot of the shots.
This is why he kicks himself when he passes, because if they don't make the shots, he's like, I would have.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's he did shoot 1 for 5 from three, and I think is below 30% on the season. So maybe he shouldn't get too big of an ego on the shooting front. But I like the approach he had today.
We have some Joe Sox said in the chat. I think he's trying to say, Oubre, my hombre, Harris, my embarrass. I don't know if he's just trying to make it rhyme or if it's a translation or what. Sorry, that was just making me laugh. You got to take all our small victories we can get at 1:15 in the morning. Yeah, look, I tweeted this in the middle of the game. If we are searching for the positives first, I think the big thing with Kelly for me is that he has shown a level of self-awareness and receptiveness to coaching in recent weeks that I wasn't sure he had in him. But he has admitted himself, like, look, I went over a lot of this stuff with the coaching staff, with Nick Nurse, with Kobe Carl, saying, hey, look, Kelly, you got to look for guys when you're driving. Like, the driving is great, but it's got to come with playmaking. It's got to come with setup ability. The on-ball defense can be very good at times, but you got to have your head on a swivel. You got to play with awareness away from the ball, which, look, there were still some tough moments from him there on that end of the floor. But I think, by and large, he has improved there. And I think he also made a lot of good plays as a help defender tonight. And so, look, the shot was not falling the entire second half, but that was true for the entire team. I'm at least happy to see the things that we just assume are like, well, he'll never do that, he'll never be good at that. he has corrected some of that stuff. And it's not, it did not help them win the game tonight, or it did not win them the game outright tonight. But if we're looking at things that, hey, maybe that can scale to when Joel comes back and they're whole and they have a real rotation, that kind of stuff is very important to me. And since, look, being truthful about Derek and I killing Kelly, and Devon, this certainly piled on at times too, but we were the anti-Kelly guys to start the show way back when we started it in the fall. It's fair to say that Kelly has done a good job lately, and I just want to give him his proper credit for doing things I did not think he wanted to ever do.
Yeah, because if you look at it, you know, the broadcast brought up a graphic and they're showing like he averaged 21 points over the last 10 games or something like that on like 41% shooting. And they noted his efficiency, which I'm not sure that's not. Anyway, we don't need to get into that. Those stats by themselves look a lot like last year Kelly Oubre stats. Inefficient, high volume scoring, but the off ball defense that Kyle mentioned, the passing that we pretty much started off the show with, that is why I am more into what Kelly has done here over the last couple of days and weeks than maybe I was earlier on. I won't say earlier on in the season because he had the first good month, but after that, he really struggled. And I think a lot of it comes down to, and Kyle tweeted this out during the game, stuff that you don't associate with Kelly. Like I said, the off-ball defense, passing, playmaking, that has been better of late, so I will live with more of the inefficient scoring nights. I would love it if he could refine his three-point shot because, quite frankly, you know, I brought up the stat for the season. He was shooting 37% on open catch and shoot threes, 25% or whatever it was on guarded catch and shoot threes. I don't even really have a problem with the threes he's taking right now. He's just not really making all that many of them. If he gets that back, he will be even more of a net positive on offense. So I think there's some, you know, low hanging fruit that he can pick off.
He's been really good during the stretch that we're talking about and showing some positive signs. And to both of your point, it's a, now it's a matter of course, can you pick up some wins right now with what he's doing? But when and if and when Joel Embiid does come back, how does that stuff still translate to the floor while the big fella takes the floor? And you get maybe a few other, maybe Robert Covington, who knows, De'Anthony Melton, with all of the stuff that we talk about. But when and if Embiid comes back, can that then – can he still have the same type of impact? Will he still have the same mindset and not just look to come off the bench and just go scorched earth on that second unit? Sure, he can do it. Just like you said, Kobe Carlton, we all know you can score. Can you also play make because of the scoring ability that you have? So if he can continue to do that and pick it up over these last two games, first of all, during these road trip, but even when they come back home, maybe get the big fella back on the floor, will these things still be there? Will that same mindset be there? Because they're going to go into the playoffs, they're going to need that too. They're going to need the scoring. And when they do collapse on him, they're going to need him to pass the basketball, to be active defensively. When you lose someone like De'Anthony Melton and you're asking Kyle Lowry to play the amount of minutes that he is, you're going to need him, Kelly Oubre, to pick up his defensive level just as much as we talk about Maxey and Harris doing the exact same thing. Kelly Oubre has shown it, which is why oftentimes when we talk about players in general, we get on them about things because we've seen it. So since we've seen it and he has shown it and shown it to be a positive for the basketball team that has led to wins, you want that to still be there when it's definitely, definitely go get him time once the postseason gets underway. But before we get there, of course, they have to do what they need to do right now. And he has to continue to play that way in order for them to steal one of these games on the road and steal any game of the final 13 that they have remaining.
So while we're on this subject, Bill had a super chat that I think dovetails what we're talking about. It says, looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow, but Oubre and Tobias both made the same number of shots and miss, and one of them had twice the number of rebounds, that person being Tobias. And I assume the other shoe is going to drop for all of us at some point. We're going to talk about Tobias and his struggles in this game. Yeah. I will say this to sort of build off of what Bill is saying here. If Tobias had played well offensively, this is a night where I would sit here and I would not rave, but certainly focus a lot of energy on him doing the little things. I think there was a moment in the second quarter where Nurse called a timeout.
Yeah, Tobias fell asleep two possessions in a row.
Yes, got back cut on when, and I tweeted this, I was like, he lost LeBron James of all people. It's not like he fell asleep on you know, Cam Reddish or whoever. No,
well, I think the previous possession he fell asleep on Rui, so he can lose role players and stars alike. Yeah,
but
he's versatile like that.
Called the timeout, and Nurse sat him down, and it was very clear he was sending a message to him because he came back in the game probably 90 seconds to 2 minutes of game time later. I'd have to check the official box or the play-by-play on that one. And from that point on, I did think that the attention to detail on defense as a rebounder in transition was much better. You know, he got into it with Austin Reeves, nearly created a turnover almost immediately after checking in, rebounded really well, went and got the ball, although still never gets a loose ball to save his life and all that.
He almost got that charge, man. He was so close.
Oh,
so
close. Hold on. All right. So I didn't want to get into that yet. I was going to save this for later. But come on. If the guy gets run into from behind, I'm not counting that as taking a fucking charge. Like come I don't on, care man. If that's how it's officially scored. And I don't know how they officially scored it.
No, it's not. It wasn't a charge. It wasn't a charge.
Good. Because if that was his first taking charge as a Sixer, I would have stormed the league office like I was upset about who got elected on January 6th. Anyway, unfortunately, all that's the transition defense. He made two different plays, broke up a lob to Anthony Davis, and then outright blocked Anthony Davis on another possession. Both those in the third quarter. All that stuff's great, but he fucking sucked on offense. Like, what is with this guy? He got stood up in the post by Spencer Dinwiddie twice on the same possession, missed a shot the first time. Paul Reed gets an awesome offensive rebound. Ball gets back to Tobias. He goes, you know what? I got to go at this guy again. And Dinwiddie fucking blocked the shot, or at least tipped it, so it never even hit the rim. How is this happening? You can't post up Spencer Dinwiddie successfully. And look, I was happy to see the three-point volume be there, right? Like, that's good. We harp on him for not taking rhythm threes. I like that he took some pull-up threes tonight. But to Bill's point in the Super Chat, where Oubre and Tobias made the same number of shots and misses, Tobias rebounded better. Look, I get it. One of them makes $40 million. Like, I hate to go back to the money thing all the time, but, like, he was featured in the offense. They spent the entire first quarter trying to get this guy going, and he's 2 for 8. Like, what are we doing here? It's crazy.
I will say Bill's comment there, see you guys tomorrow, threw me for a second. And then I forgot. I realized what time we are recording this on. Yes. he is absolutely 100% correct. That one possession where he had a nice block on the defensive end, came down and then spent 8 seconds trying to get in the post up only to commit a turnover. It was the epitome of the Tobias Harris experience. It was incredibly frustrating, incredibly frustrating.
And it was predictable. Because you knew once the ball was going to go that way, you knew exactly what was going to happen. You hate to harp on it that way, but it was
zero passes, 8 seconds of him posting up and a turnover. Mm-hmm. Just mad.
Yeah. Mad. Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. And we also had another super chat along the lines of the Kelly Oubre conversation. This time from our buddy Al, the 2-minute warning says, Al actually reached out to me during the game and said, I'm going to say something during the post game that I'm surprised that I'm going to say. Well, wait until we started the show. And here it is. Told me it was on the way. So here it is. The Sixers should re-sign Kelly Oubre. He has seen enough. Thank you, Al. Well, let's see what happens. Let's see how things.
I'm gonna save that for an off-season pod because we're gonna have a lot of those.
a lot of those. So we'll he has shown some good signs, Al. You're absolutely right, which is why he is at the top of the show to talk about the positive and what happened tonight, even though. You know, Bill was talking about also a little bit of the negative part of it, combining him with Tobias Harris. But he has shown some things where, yes, it's part of the conversation, but let's wait a little bit longer. But I'm glad you feel that way. How you feel about Tobias Harris, Al, your buddy? You going to re-sign him too at a lower number? I don't think that's happening. I know, Al, we're just kidding on that one. But, yeah, it wasn't good, man. But, again, it's the predictability with Tobias Harris. That's where we have the problem. It's too predictable with things. And speaking about things that we've seen that have been positives, we know what he's capable of, which is why we harp on him as much as we do. We try to exclude the money and ignore the money because the money is what the money is. But guess what? Got the money because he also can score 18 to 20 points a game. when you have Spencer Dinwiddie, and in past games where you have smaller players on the floor and you're trying to take them on the lower block, my man, just go ahead and destroy them and don't waste your time. It's not that difficult. Yes, size up the defense and see what's going on, but make those quick decisions. They've been saying this all the way back to Brett Brown through Doc Rivers and now again with Nick Nurse. So not all that surprising, but just as frustrating when it happens, especially in a game where, as Derek said at the very top, they should have won this basketball game.
I mean, if Tobias Harris could make quick decisions, he wouldn't be Tobias Harris.
Correct.
It's just like, that's why every coach harps on it, because that's what needs to happen, but we all know it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll get to the other positive on the other side, which really happened in the second half. But maybe if that would have been off to a much better start too, things would have looked a little differently as far as the lead at the break.
Before we get to that, we want to make sure we tell you about Empire today. We get the benefit of doing these shows. We do have to do these shows at 1:26 in the morning, but we get the benefit of doing them from our house, and which means that I get to sit here and look at my carpet that desperately needs to be replaced. If you're like me and you have some carpeting that needs to go in your room, Empire Today has you covered. With Empire Today, you get shop-at-home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. Empire Today keeps shopping for floors simple with a curated product selection. Their philosophy is to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is as important as what they put in. Empire Today's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find perfect styles. And Empire Today has a virtual floor designer, which is a great way to see new floors look in any space. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. Shopping for floors at a big box store can be frustrating. You might talk to someone today who was working in plumbing yesterday. I mean, imagine if you like came into a store and you saw me there giving you advice on flooring. You just don't want that. Flooring is all Empire Today does. They live and breathe flooring, so you can be confident you're getting honest, upfront advice. They also service their own warranties. So with Empire Today, you won't have to track down a manufacturer's phone number. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code PHLY. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/PHLY for details.
You can tell it's late because I knew I had to double check what my ad read was next. You guys should be double checking for our good friends at Bagels and Co.
I mean, we'll be having a bagel in like 6 hours.
They offer huge, excuse me, Brooklyn style bagels made right here in Philadelphia. I eat them several days a week. Bagels and Co. offers an average of around 15 to 20 different types of bagels, and they rotate them seasonally. It's always good to have that variety, because one day you might be an everything guy. One day you want cheddar. One day you want something just like a plain bagel, and you get exotic with your cream cheeses. And the good news is they offer 30 different flavors of cream cheese that rotate all throughout the year. Yes, that's right. And they do themed cream cheeses for all the local sports teams. Again, as I said the other night, not sure you want to remind yourself about the Sixers right now, so maybe you avoid them. Think about the Eagles. Free agency, baby. They're back. Saquon Barkley posts an Instagram clips and pictures at 10 p.m. on a Friday night. He is locked in. He is dialed in. So get that Eagles-themed cream cheese and think of a team that's got a better chance to win a championship on the horizon. Just as important as that variety and cream cheese is their affordability. Bagels & Co. has kept their prices down so you can be an everyday customer, not just someone who comes in for a weekend splurge. They even offer premium coffee at a superior price to most national brands and chains. Pair that coffee with a bagel. Can't beat that. For the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philadelphia, head to www.thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the closest Bagels & Co. near you.
Some funny stuff going on there in the chat. But our good buddy
anybody Dave, who's up this late at night is getting up to some funny stuff. You can guarantee that.
Dave Doer said Tobias stinks. I like the simplicity of it. And listen, it's hard to argue on another night like this. And look, he was 5-for-12 there early on, and he was actually one of the players in double figures with Kelly Oubre, where Tyrese Maxey was struggling. We'll get to him as one of the positives for the second half. But yeah, when he has it going that early, it's like, okay, he's getting up a lot of shots, but they're still in this game. Maybe he'll shoot much better in the second half. He'll get on a nice little roll. But as we just talked about, that was not the case. So the simplicity again of it, Tobias thinks Dave Doerr with that in the chat. But 5 points from Tyrese Maxey in the first half, not a good start there for him. The 22 in the second half to keep them in it, keep them in the lead as well, but not enough to close things down. But as far as a positive goes, again, he did figure it out in the second half. Whatever they discussed at halftime, he came up 11 points in each quarter in that second half to give them the chance to win this game.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we done talking about Tobias yet? Are we going to be just going into the positive mode? Because I feel like I've bogarted on him for a while, and you guys are just defaulting to the "he stinks, let's move on" approach, which is fair. But you know, I always like to hear your perspectives and not just talk to myself.
He stunk tonight.
Yeah, he wasn't good. Yeah.
It's 1:30 a.m. I can't have the same Tobias Harris conversation I've had 14 times so far this year.
All right, let's, before we get to Tyrese, then I would like to, why is my camera out of focus? What the fuck happened there? Anyway, what do you guys make of Buddy Hield only playing 13 minutes?
I don't get it. Don't understand it. He has been bad. As we know, he hasn't been really good, but he's had his moments over the few of these games here, especially against Miami and the game that they won on Monday, also against Saturday against Charlotte. But yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't understand why. Wasn't necessarily a matchup thing. Sure, they have some length out there, but when you do have other players that you feel like he can at least run around with when it comes to Reeves and Russell, at least just being able to, again, run with these players out there on the floor, I didn't really get it. Mo Bamba played a lot of minutes also, where Paul Reed got into some foul trouble, and I understood that. But the Buddy Hield thing was a little bit surprising that he didn't play more than 13 minutes overall throughout the night. He couldn't get into a rhythm playing only 13 minutes out there. While shooting has not been great, can't get into a rhythm. A player like that who needs that volume to get going, I didn't understand that one.
Man, we've even got Austin Krell in the chat poking on a resident troll.
Well,
who would have known? You know, who would have known? No, look, I agree with Devon. He wasn't good. He wasn't good defensively. But I think a player like that, you need to give him a chance to get going. And a few more minutes alongside of Tyrese Maxey would maybe help that. 13 minutes isn't enough for a shooter like that to get into some kind of a rhythm. I would like to see more playing time from Buddy, and then, you know, on top of that, I would like to see more from Buddy. I did not think he had a long enough run.
Yeah, so we're all pretty much in agreement here. I want to tie it to something else. Kyle Lowry being like a guaranteed 30-minute guy is a little strange. And it was one of the things that all of us expressed concern about him coming here. It's like, okay, I'm not against Lowry coming here. I think he's better than what they had at backup point, et cetera, et cetera. But does Nick Nurse still think he's like 2019 Kyle Lowry? I don't think that's the case, but I think he thinks he has more than he probably has to offer at this point, right? Like, I think the one glaring problem with Lowry, and look, some of his minutes are coming at the expense of Buddy. If you're playing two guard lineups with him and Maxey, that's just, the role for Buddy is dwindling directly because of that. And that's okay if Lowry is doing all the little things and making plays and whatever, but he's 1 for 6 from the field. He can't attack the rim at all. Yeah. Like, it is painful watching him driving to the basket. I thought the one turnover he had tonight, where on the broadcast they're talking about, he thought whoever, I think it was Maxey, was on the wing. And the broadcast was like, oh, he must have thought that someone was going to slide up there and be in that position. And I was sitting there thinking, what he should have thought is there's nobody at the fucking rim. Shoot a goddamn layup, dude. Like, what are you seeing out there? He has so little confidence attacking the rim that he's seeing ghosts out there. I get that Anthony Davis is incredible, and so a lot of guys see ghosts attacking the rim against the Lakers, but I don't know what he's seeing out there sometimes right now. And then to add on top of that, I thought Lowry had one of the worst fouls of the season, certainly the worst foul of the game, when it's what, a 5-6 point game with 2.5 minutes left, and he's taking a foul 94 feet from the basket for no reason. It's like, what are you doing, dude? So if he's supposed to be Mr. High IQ and puts people in the right places and does the right things, well, some of that includes you got to shoot open layups and you got to not take stupid fouls. So I'm judging him on that. And circling back to the buddy thing, he's not playing well. He's not shooting well. And so Nurse reducing his role is understandable in that way. But the guys who are getting minutes over him have to perform themselves. It's the same. It's a different version of the Tobias Harris problem, where it's okay to reduce other people's roles. It's okay to be like, well, Ricky's too young and he can't play and do this. And okay, well, then Tobias can't play 40 minutes while he's playing shitty. Tobias played more minutes than any other player on the floor tonight. Why does he have an unlimited leash? So same principle for Lowry. He's playing 31 minutes in a game where he can't shoot basically at all. Not that anybody did. Give somebody else a chance that might be able to get going. That's all I'm ultimately thinking here.
Yep.
100%. Yep. And if Kyle Lowry is going to be out there and he's going to have some crucial minutes, give him a breather, give him a break. And with that break, you have Tyrese Maxey's been running the point all season long. He is still more than capable of running the point guard position with Buddy Hield next to him in the backcourt, with Kelly Oubre, Tobias Harris, and Mo Bamba or Paul Reed on the floor with him. So that's where, as you guys asked the question about the 13 minutes, that's where it was puzzling, because it's like Tyrese Maxey is capable of running the offense, still scoring. And as he does that, when he kicks the ball out, he's kicking the ball out now to Buddy Hield. And there might be a chance that he's wide open and he knocks down one. And then he knocks down that one. They have to close out again. Then he drives to the basket and gets a layup. Then he knocks down another. And now he might be in a rhythm where that 13 may jump to 23. And the shots are now falling, where a one-point lead or a two-point lead that is now going back and forth might be extended a little bit more. So this was one where I did look at Nurse and I thought he overreacted to, yes, that Buddy Hield has not been playing well, not been shooting the ball very well. And, of course, he trusts Kyle Lowry. But Kyle did make some tough decisions there with that one ball being thrown out of bounds where he was right at the rim, and a few others that were there that you expect him to kind of take that shot. For the most part, we know that Kyle Lowry is going to give you the effort. It's just the other things that come with it at this stage of his career. Giving Buddy Hield an opportunity to get going in a game where they're already in it, let him get off a few of those shots and see if it starts to roll. And if it does, then you're probably in a pretty good place.
Yeah, and it wasn't just one game. Like, he only played 15 minutes against Phoenix, too. Mm-hmm. Now you bring Tobias back into the equation and his guaranteed 35 to 40, like Kyle mentioned. You do wonder, all right, how much opportunity is Buddy going to get? And this is a player. Look, I get if Nick Nurse is down on him with the, his off-ball awareness, but you're playing Tobias Harris 35 to 40 minutes per night, who is completely lost off-ball as well. I would like more. Look, Buddy is the only one out there that really has, regardless of his shot is going in or not, he has gravity every play. I would like to see him paired with Maxey more often than he has been. I understand you want to get Kyle on the floor to get a little more passing and a little more playmaking. Kyle is probably your best playmaker right now, but that's sort of the problem with this team, is that players who are elite, or at least your best on your squad at one thing, are borderline unplayable in almost every other facet of the game. It's not a great rotation to have in that regard. It all makes a little more sense when Joel Embiid comes back, but I would certainly like to see Buddy more. And certainly when Joel Embiid comes back, I think you better be seeing Buddy more, because you need him to space the floor.
Yeah, and I think you can't just, like, if you play Buddy 10 to 15 minutes a night for a month and then you're like, oh, hey, here, now you're in a big role because Joel's back. I don't think that's a good way to – you're going to essentially keep him out of rhythm for this whole period and then expect him to be this hand-in-glove fit that we've all been hoping for with Joel. Like, I don't think that's going to work. And I think you have to live with the warts with Buddy, right? Like, if you trade for him, you go into it clear-minded, clear-headed, and say, there are going to be defensive problems. He's not a big-time creator, although early on we did see that he was a better passer than we probably anticipated, at least was playmaking for guys at a decent clip early on. And he wasn't going to shoot like he shot at the beginning forever, obviously. And that is borne out over time. But it's a similar thing to, you know, all the arguments that were had about Isaiah Joe before he left here. It's like, well, he's not making shots. Well, it's hard to make shots consistently if your minutes are getting jerked around and you don't have any real time to get into a rhythm. Like, Kyle Lowry didn't hit shots. He had 31 minutes, and Nick Nurse didn't consider sitting him down. And I get that his value is thought of as more than just the shot, but if he's losing minutes to Lowry in that specific spot, in that specific role, you got to judge him on at least semi-similar principles. So I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll have to reserve judgment until Joel's back and you see the two-man game that they're going to presumably get into. But he's in a bad spot right now, really in the doghouse.
It was a pretty good one that Ampu Mind said, Tobias Harris with the YMCA dribble package. So we're back to Tobias with some slander.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I think of the YMCA dribble package as like Andre Miller, like the old man game. I don't even think he has that. So
yeah. Oh man. Wow. Yeah, that Buddy Hill thing is crazy. The guys shooters get out of their streak. You know, whether it's good or bad. He was good when he first got here, and he has tailed off ever since. But in a game like this, I mean, look at the final score, guys. I mean, it's a low scoring game, and there was an opportunity 101-94. Points were there to be made, as both teams, you know, didn't shoot all that great. 44% for the Lakers and 34%. For the Sixers, 8 for 37 from beyond. When you have one of your better shooters that's on your team sitting right there, you have to give him some minutes. And like we said, putting him in the backcourt to give Lowry a break and not tax him too much with Maxey there. Maxey got going in the second half. And part of that, yes, playing off ball of Kyle Lowry, but you can also see him playing off ball because if Buddy Hield does, in fact, get hot, now they have to worry about both of them in that backcourt, and that's where the question comes in for Nurse. Hopefully that's corrected by Sunday.
Well, if you're coming out on Sunday to our event, can't promise I'll be there, but if you're coming out and you need to choose chill in the midst of a potentially disastrous road trip for the Philadelphia 76ers, I know of a better way, a chiller way to watch the Sixers. That is with an ice cold Coors Light. With Coors Light, you know you're getting an ice cold beer because the mountains turn blue on the bottles and cans when they hit that perfect temperature. When you're walking into the Chegg on Sunday to watch that Clippers game, hang out with us out in Marlton. I know you're probably going to be a little stressed beforehand. God, the Sixers need this one. God, Kawhi's going to humiliate them, all that. But before that beer even reaches your hands, you will know it is ice cold. A crisp and refreshing beer, because those mountains turn blue before it gets to you coming across the bar. And it's cold layered, cold filtered, cold package for a smooth finish. It is mountain cold refreshment. I am looking forward to having a few Coors Lights myself when I head down to an undisclosed location for the next week and get away from the Sixers for a few days. You might not be able to go on a warm vacation in the days to come, but when you choose to rise above it all, choose chill, choose Coors Light, get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLY basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Why are we being cagey about the location? You know you're just going to post it on Instagram anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to post the exact resort. It'll say the general area that I'm in. Yeah, I will certainly talk about it once I'm back, but you know, getting away for a nice little spring break. We have
got to make sure nobody's stalking Kyle. I get it. You're a big award-winning journalist.
I don't think anybody will be stalking me anywhere, let alone down there. But
keep it private, Kyle. I'm with you, man. Keep it private.
While we're on the subject of events, we do have that upcoming event at Chegg on Sunday for the Clippers game, little watch party going on. We also, after I am back from this little trip, we have a watch party at Deke's Barbecue in Philadelphia. We will post more information about that throughout the week. I believe if you go to allphly.com, go to the events tab, should be there. I think you can register for free. We are giving away Sixers tickets. at the event at Deke's. So
look at that. Look at that.
Be some cold Coors Lights going around, right? Sharing some brewskis, possibly sharing some tickets with you if you win the giveaway. So that'll be next Friday. So what is that? The 29th, I believe. Come on out, yes. Hang out with us. All of us will be there. Have some beers, have some barbecue, watch the Sixers. Maybe you'll win something. Who knows?
And before we get to Tyrese Maxey, and you're sitting back right now over these last 2 days, Thursday and Friday, it starts the best part of the tournament where you have college basketball tournament. The first weekend is fantastic from Thursday through Sunday as they figure things out and knock teams out. But you're doing so and you're like, I wish I was in a better spot in my home where I could post maybe 2-3 televisions in your man cave. Well, if you're looking for a new spot and you're looking to get a new home to do just that for your better viewing pleasure of college basketball for next year, because of course you may not get it done so fast, you have to check in with our good friends from Mortgage CS. And Mortgage CS, with Ben allowing you to text him or call him and email him, I'm sure he would want to talk some college basketball with you. But as far as looking for a home, if you're looking for one sooner and also later, Mortgage CS is the place for you. Again, I've discussed it with my guys here on the team about maybe myself looking for something new. And I know that I'm going to certainly contact the guys because they offer refinancing options for you as a already a homeowner at the moment, but even for someone like me or the other person down the line there in the chat that is looking for a new home, this is the place for you to go. The spring purchase market is almost here and heating up very quickly. And as you're looking at different spots, especially for first-time homeowners, you're reaching out and you want to be ready when the rates drop. It may not drop right now, but they could later on, and that's the hope for a lot of people. Mortgage CS stands for Mortgage Concierge Service, and that's the white glove service. They're there for you 24/7, as the guys Alec and Ben are. They're always there for you to discuss your plans for the immediate or also later in the year if you're trying to purchase a home that way when those rates do in fact drop. Full control of the lenders you work with. They're an independent broker based right here in Philadelphia, available as mentioned 24/7 in a bunch of different states coast to coast. They are licensed California, Colorado, DC, Delaware, Florida, Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, of course, South Carolina, Virginia, and Washington as well. They're here to educate and empower their clients to get them set up the best way possible to get that new home and to help the clients out and can get those, you know, great spots there for those ultimate competitive rates that are already out there. So if you want to check in with our great friends, you can do so. When you hear the word mortgage, Mortgage CS, think of Ben and Alex. Save Ben's telephone number there, 267-391-7425. He's a sports maniac. He'll talk to you about sports while he helps you figure out your numbers to get this home. Alec is also fantastic. You can email Ben at ben@mortgagecs.com and talk sports with him day or night. Check out mortgagecs.com/Philly to get things started.
I know he's given us permission to it. In fact, he wants us to. But I do feel like flashing Ben's cell phone number up at 1:47 a.m. is bordering on a little bit. That's a little bit rude. And I know he wants us to do that, but please don't go texting him at nearly 2 a.m.
No. Wait till Monday. Yeah. Wait till Monday. Yeah, leave
him alone. Or even just later on this morning. That's all.
All right. Fair enough. All right. When we talk about get things going,
now Tyrese, let me type Devon's cell phone number in the chat here and everyone can text him instead.
I'm good at blocking, man. So if I don't recognize the number, I'm not answering. So Tyrese Maxey, guys, Kyle, we didn't get to it there in the first 30 minutes, but get into it now. Slow start again, but he really turned it up in the second half. What did you see in the first half that was different from the second?
Well, I hated the first half for many, a lot of the same reasons as the Phoenix game, right? Like, I thought he essentially let Anthony Davis win without challenging him. And by that, I mean, he he rarely attacked the paint in the first half. And as an undersized guard, I get it. Anthony Davis can, the Lakers are very good, even though they don't have great point of attack defenders, they're very good at guiding guys to areas where AD can cover for them, right? And it's part of why they're able to be a pretty good defensive team, despite the fact that they have some, let's say, questionable guys within the rotation. But Maxey let them get away with that. Like, his best games are always put the shoulder into somebody, go hard to the rim, all that. And there was very little of that. Settling for mid-range jump shots, settling for tough threes. And then the paradigm shifted in the second half. I thought whether it was Tyrese recognizing where he'd gone wrong, whether it was the coaching staff going to him, I thought he did an excellent job of attacking an early offense, attacking in transition, getting by somebody and not settling, right? Getting all the way to the rim, challenging Anthony Davis. And look, there are a couple times where Davis got the better of him, but by and large, he's able to get to the rim, score at the rim, and that completely changed the game. He still didn't have a good shooting performance, right? He's 10 of 26. So he had 27 points on 26 shots. That's not great. Now, it's a little misleading because I think like four or five of those misses were super late, final minute, and he had carried the offense for basically the entire second half at that point. He's one of the only guys who had anything going. So another example of that thing we keep talking about lately where he struggles and he's not doing something right, but then he was able to adjust at halftime, whether it was because he saw it himself or it took coaching who said, hey, you got to do this, or you got to do more of that and less of this. He arrived at the right conclusion, added what he needed to, and played a hell of a lot better. And so it didn't matter, in part because he struggled in the first half and they weren't able to take a bigger lead with LeBron borderline point shaving for the half of that game, maybe even more than that. But I still, within the train wreck of a game, I can still recognize that that was a pretty good performance and a lot to like in the second half, at least.
A little too soon to be talking about point shaving, given everything going on with Temple and with baseball right now. Careful on that one. It's crazy.
Listen,
times.
I didn't go to Temple, and I'm not a translator for Shohei Ohtani, so I have nothing to apologize for.
This was another one where I thought his passing was decent. I thought that he was another player who, if the Sixers could make a shot, probably ends up with six assists rather than what he ended up with, two or three. I thought he had some good bounce passes to big men. I thought he was decent in that regard. But yeah, when you're not, you know, he salvaged a decently efficient game despite shooting 1 for 9 from three. And a lot of that was because he just attacked a lot more and a lot more consistently in the second half.
Yeah, man.
That's all I had.
Yeah, that was no, that was pretty. You could see you know we watching him the same way we can evaluate Tobias Harris and look at how he likes to do certain things, and you see it in Maxey too. He was just a totally different player there in the second half, and you can see it right away. He came out, he was aggressive, he was attacking, he's never afraid, but the approach was different, and you saw the results of that as the third quarter just kept going along for him to compile those 11 points that he did there in the third and then even in the fourth. So he just needed a little more help there in that second half to close things out. That's why we talked about what Harris didn't do, the missed shots, maybe Lowry only taking six, Buddy Hield not playing enough to get those shots off. He needed some more help because he corrected the problem. All right. He did his part. You needed others to do the same thing. So it's not all that often that we talk about him in that way. We had the one game where we discussed it because he wasn't very good and he bounces back and he comes back and he plays this way. Didn't think it would last that first half. And he showed us exactly what he generally does when he has to fix whatever things that he needs to fix. And he did that in the second half. A little too late because, again, if he had set the tone a little bit more in the first half to go along with what Oubre and Harris were doing there, maybe there's a little bit more wiggle room, and by the time we do get to the fourth quarter and he still has it going, maybe it's a much closer game where those possessions are that more valuable down the end, and maybe he's the one that puts them on the shoulder once again and closes it out. But unfortunately, the slow start, having to do so much there in the second half, plus not getting a little bit more from the teammates, they walk away with their second loss of this four-game trip.
All right, fellas. Do we want to do a roll call before we get out of here? As Derek probably shuts his camera off and say give a yeah, Derek really did shut his camera off. Say a
get
big
the bell
thank
ready,
you
man.
To our people who it is 1:55 a.m. local time in Philadelphia. We certainly have people in other markets, right? Like I had a lot of tweeters saying, hey, I'm watching in Europe and it's, you know, 2:30 in the morning or whatever. Yeah. I respect all of you too. I love each and every person who comes out for us every day. Want to give a special shout out to the people that are here with us tonight. Money Mar up first, the public enemy number one in the chat.
What up, Mar?
We got Brian Bidding, Aaron,
Aaron,
Lawrence, Jay of the Jungle, Iroh. Let's see. X-Man. Love saying X-Man.
What up, X?
Bai Chi, Cannoli. It's another crowd pleaser.
Yes, it is. Always.
Lawrence. Is. We got Luke, and I don't want to butcher your name, but Luke P. Let's just put it like that.
What up, Luke?
Our guy, Eugene Ross, who said that he's back tonight, that he missed us. So thank
love
you.
Gene.
Thank you, Eugene. We also have, let's see, you a fraud. Wow. My girl, Winona, who I learned tonight, is a plain bagel fan. So, Winona, I'm normally an everything person, but I respect the plain. Every once in a while, you just got to keep it simple, keep it honest. I love that. We got John. We had Kane earlier that I saw. Bootzilla. Austin Crow Boots. Was in here causing problems. Our guy, Al, the two-minute warning.
What up, Al?
Ampu Mines, Flex Hoops, Joey, who else we got? Guys, honestly, this is a lot of names
there's
to sort through
yeah.
at 2 o'clock in the morning. Got Alex. Who are our super chatters? We have Bill.
We had
Al the 2 minute warning, yep. As always.
There you go.
Come on, can't forget him. All right, guys. I think that's enough names for 2 o'clock that's in the it. Morning. If you like the show and you like us, which I hope you do by now. Could you please subscribe to the channel? Hit the bell icon so you get notifications. Look at that. Derek's still with us. You get notifications each and every time we go live. Give us a thumbs up because it will honestly save my sanity that we didn't stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning doing a basketball podcast for nothing. I love all of you. I will be on vacation for the next five, six days. Yeah. Devon and Derek will be back with you on Sunday. At the Chegg in Marlton, New Jersey. I highly recommend
pre-game.
You go there.
Pre-game. 3 o'clock.
Oh, I'm getting out of pre-game duty too? All right, man. I'm just messing around. So show up pre-game. They have great food, great drinks. It's a good spot, lots of space. I don't know what the weather is going to be like here. If it's warm enough, they have a cool outdoor space. It's a place worth checking out, even if we're not there. So come by, say hello. I will see you guys.
Are you going to check in on the chat from vacation?
There's
no way you're not watching.
Unlikely.
The
game. It feels unlikely, but we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. Well, that might be like a Kendall. I think is going to get a massage at some point at the spa, so that'll be my like. All right, I'll watch the highlights of this game.
Exactly.
Type moment. So.
All right.
Cool. Anyway, well, good night, everybody.
Have a good vacation, man.